We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Jackson, and he is your artist of the day. By the way, I've got a funny story to tell everybody.
All right.
So when you started the newscast, Mr. Starrett, at the top of the hour, I decided, I'm trying to get my steps in, if you know what I mean. So,
oh, you're one of those people now?
So I walk around the newsroom once or twice.
You have the actual Fitbit?
I have it on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah, it tells me how many steps I walk. Anyway, that's not the point. So I open the door to the studio, and he doesn't know that I'm there, and boss has his back to me, and he's talking to Rebecca Crockett, and he says, I have no idea how this show gets ratings. Because he had just heard our bit about Rubber Ducky.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one.
Mm-hmm.
And she said something to him, and he said, no, I'm serious. I have no idea how this show gets ratings. And I was standing there just outside the door, and I go, I'm right here. And he turned around, and he goes, oh. And I go, and we're number one. And he goes, and I can't figure that out.
A girlfriend of mine just texted me on my way down the hall and said, you are making me so happy right now. Sesame Street tunes, heart.
Aww.
You know why? Because anyone listening over about the age of, well, I mean, it's been on forever. I don't know.
It's been
that
on for 50 years.
It's been
week.
On for 50 Didn't, years.
Isn't that what you said?
I don't know that they bring back those songs, but that stupid little sing song, I that launches me right back into age four, age five, something like that.
Well, I wasn't even born in 1970, and I still know that stupid song. So yeah. So they must have kept it going through the years, right?
Kept which song going?
No,
Rubber Ducky.
I don't think they kept it going.
Well,
I think it just stuck.
Well, that's part of it. But the other part of it is they do rerun, at least for a while, some Sesame Street episodes.
How would you like to be a one-hit wonder band whose song only got to number 17 and you were not good enough to get to number 16 where Rubber Ducky, You're the One by Ernie did?
So, see, I would look at it the other way. That would be my claim to fame, that Ernie did one better than me, and,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
We got blocked on the charts by Ernie.
Who was number 17 on October 17th, 1970?
Please hold. I can look that up.
I would love to have that distinction.
I mean, your song was worse than Rubber Ducky.
Right.
Rubber Ducky got more airplay.
It performed
than yours
worse.
Did.
That doesn't mean that it is worse. There's an important distinction there.
The other reason that song makes people happy is it was, we like to say this, I don't know that I agree with it, it was a simpler time. Was it not a simpler time?
1970?
Before.
When black people and white people hated each other and we were in Vietnam?
But Sesame Street did more than anyone to break some of that down. Mr. Rogers certainly did.
I'll agree with you that there was a movement to kind of ease the tension. But 1970 was not some beaver cleaver-like era in America. I mean, we were still lockstep in Vietnam.
But I mean as kids. Was it not simpler as kids? I mean, China came out this week and they're imposing a gaming curfew for young people.
Well.
The song that was directly below Rubber Ducky by Ernie that week ended up doing better overall.
But what was it?
Long, Long Time by Linda Ronstadt.
Okay.
Okay.
That was a song that could not beat Ernie, Rubber Ducky, You're the One, that week.
And Linda Ronstadt would be absolutely fine with that.
Yeah, Linda Ronstadt would find that hilarious.
She was actually on Sesame Street, as I recall.
Wouldn't surprise me. Jam.
Oh, I like that song.
That was her first solo hit.
Okay, that's just creeping me out.
That's weird.
Did you see, speaking of video games, that there is a new study out showing MRIs are showing screen time is linked to lower brain development in our preschoolers?
As we're asking parents to let their kids watch Sesame Street, you're saying screen time actually hurts your development.
No.
That's not what we said about Sesame Street.
I'm not talking about Sesame Street, which was appointment television when we were growing up.
Fair point.
You had to be in front of that TV for 28 minutes to watch Sesame Street. They are talking about, and I know TV is included in screen time, but ask your teenagers today, when you think screen, where does your screen time come in? I bet television is at the very bottom of that list. Hmm. It's phone, laptop,
yeah,
television.
Well, like, for example, I've made this argument before on the air. I think television as we know it, I don't think television's going to go away. Television as we know it dies with our generation. For example, Maya, last night, we were at home. I was watching the KU basketball game against Duke, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you were too.
Oh, I was.
And she's on the couch with me, and I'm, like, scratching her back and stuff. And I look over, and I said, honey, don't you want to watch the KU basketball game? She goes, no, I'm just watching my here's the key phrase. My video's on YouTube.
She watches YouTube videos.
Yeah. So this morning, you know, the kids out in DeSoto had a late start, okay? It was a two-hour late start. So Kelly went to work, and Maya and I get in the car, and we go pick up Kelly's son to take him to school too, right? And because he had been home for like 30 minutes or something before we got there. And so I get there and I said, hey, man, you ready to go? And he's like, yeah. I said, what you been doing? He goes, watching my videos on YouTube. Not one time did he turn on ESPN Sports.
Right.
And he's a big sports guy. Not one time. They get everything entertainment-wise off
phone.
Of YouTube.
A new study scanned the brains of children 3 to 5 years old, and they found that those who use screens more than the recommended, ready for this, 1 hour a day.
I watch more than an hour a day.
Had lower levels of development in the brain's white matter, an area key to the development of language, literacy, and cognitive skills. Now, wouldn't you have thought it would be the other way? That if they,
like, the more TV they watch, the more educated they become.
Yeah, or the more, you know, games they're playing, that somehow that's training them to wire their brain a certain way and maybe be better at certain things. That's not what this says.
Do you think these studies, though, Dana, go out with a determination already set in place and then they look for the evidence to prove that?
I don't know, because the study was done, let me look back. It was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association It was in the Journal of Pediatrics. It's important because the brain is developing the most rapidly in the first 5 years. That's when the brains are very plastic, soaking up everything, forming strong connections that last for life.
Huh. Somebody writes in, I don't even know what day or time my favorite shows are actually on TV. I think that's true. Now, I do, but I'm also 48 years old and I watch TV like people used to watch TV.
I have a friend and they have a family rule that at night, all of the phones go in a basket in the charging station downstairs. Everyone in the house.
Even mom and dad?
Yep. They walk the walk and talk the talk.
Wow.
So everything goes downstairs when they go upstairs. And I wish we had done that, but it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle when you didn't start out down that road.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Because that's how I unwind at night.
How do you unwind at night?
I scroll through the news stuff, which is a horrible way to unwind, I know.
That's horrible.
I have terrible dreams.
I'll tell you this right now. I would actually encourage you just to try it. I gave up Twitter over a week ago.
Okay.
I have never felt more technologically liberated in my life.
Okay.
Now, are you ever going back to Twitter?
No. You couldn't pay me. Well, you could pay me, but No, if you were to say, Scott, I really miss you on Twitter, or you're really missing out. No. I will not go back to Twitter.
Huh.
It is a cesspool of hate and anger, and I didn't like who I was becoming on Twitter. That was the biggest thing for me. I didn't like who I became, and so I got off of it. And I don't miss it one bit. On occasion, I'm like, I wonder what Dum Dum is saying, I wonder what's going on in the news. Well, then I'll just go to CNN.com, go to FoxNews.com or whatever. I don't care.
This study, Scott, gets into why the brain is wired that way. And when you're very, very young, so age 2, 3, 4, even 6 months, what's going on in there that makes the connections that we use for the rest of our life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if screen time is bad, do you want to guess what activities improve the structure of the brain's white matter for little kids?
Very quickly, because we got to get to the break, I'm going to say something where you use your hands, like building blocks
Yes. Juggling, reading, or learning and practicing a musical instrument.
576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie. She's Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
All aboard!
Guitar, please.
We'll post this story on our social media platforms. It's a KMBC story, but the study is out there. And they talk about the MRIs showing screen time in very young children has been linked to lower brain development in preschoolers. And I want to just quickly read the new guidelines for screen time. Because, wow, it says no baby under 18 months old should be exposed to screen media other than video chatting with friends and family.
Well, but I use the screen media to babysit them while I fold
laundry. Babies need to interact with caregivers in their environment, not be placed in front of media as a babysitter. Mm-hmm. A study found that even having the TV on in the same room with a baby negatively impacted their ability to play and interact. It says by the time a baby turns 2, they can learn words from a person on a live video chat and some touch screens. The chief factor, though, is a toddler's ability to learn from baby videos and interactive touch screens when parents watch with them and reteach the content. So if you're going to do it by age 2, it's interactive with mom and dad. Age 3 to 5, kids can benefit from quality shows like Sesame Street.
Can I weigh in on this for just a second?
Please.
First of all, I think the people who conduct these studies are full of crap.
Ooh, Scott, I don't know.
And here's why. First of all, tell me that they didn't plunk their kid down in front of a TV to watch Barney or whatever while they ran to the kitchen to make dinner because the day is long and time is short. Okay?
But don't you think that's a little different than the iPhone screen? Or the iPad screen.
You said screen time. You didn't say that it said TV screen versus iPad or telephone. So I just read screen time as screen time to include TV screens. Now, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I heard it wrong. I don't know.
It's all rolled into one.
Well, and here's what I think. These uppity little Harvard, Yale.
But they looked at MRIs, Scott.
I don't give one.
And the matter inside was different from child to child, depending on screen time.
How do they know that?
Because they look. You can see on a brain scan that the left one looks different than the right one.
Who didn't put their kid in front of a TV to watch Sesame Street or Kalu or whatever his name was?
Oh, God, Caillou. If you put your kid in front of that and you could stand it for 30 minutes without jumping out of a window, good on you.
And the kid with the magic crayon, what was his name?
Harold.
Harold and the magic crayon.
Look, there are many...
You didn't put your kid in front of the TV while you went to go make dinner?
There are many reasons.
Give me a break.
You are not a Harvard neuroscientist.
No, but I'm a successful parent.
I do believe...
As you are.
They can look at an MRI and discern the difference on the left between kids who... have a lot of screen time and the kids on the right.
But I think what they take out of the equation is average real life parenting.
I think they were average real life brain
They're
scans.
Not if they work at Harvard. Alan and Lawrence. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Hi. Hi, how are you guys doing?
I'm good.
I was going to go into a whole neurological thing and break it down for you, but I think I just make it really simplistic.
Yes.
You don't skip leg day, right, Scott?
I beg your pardon?
You don't skip leg day at the gym, right?
Correct.
My legs don't work, so I do.
Because you have to exercise your whole body.
Okay, so white matter are synapses, and if you're only using your visual cortex, then you're only using one synapse, which is visual, and you're neglecting your proprioception, which is muscles and touching. You're neglecting sound sometimes. You're neglecting taste. And what happens is in early development, childhood, the reason they crawl, the reason they put stuff, everything in their mouth, the reason they touch everything is the reason why they develop white synapses within the brain. Now, white matter doesn't necessarily mean intelligence. It just means there are points between the neurons that are communicating. So what the study, if you dig into it a little bit more, is we're losing the ability to do fine touch motor things, not necessarily intelligence, which is why a lot of preschoolers suffer from not being able to write with a pen or a pencil when they get to preschool and kindergarten, but they can touch an iPad screen, and that's where the biggest challenge is coming in. Does that make sense?
Yes. So we need a better balance, Alan. Is that what you're saying?
That is what he's saying.
Are you a brain scientist person, Alan?
Alan, are you a doctor of some fashion?
I'm studying to be a doctor. I'm a student right now. I'm highly immersed in some neurological studies right now.
Okay.
So tracks of the brain is something that I've been studying for the past 6 months. So
good.
I'm high deep into these studies.
Okay. And I love it, and you should study Scott's brain because he doesn't believe in science.
I do believe in science. I do.
You know, all of this discussion could just be done away with if we'd all agree to just turn on the radio more.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Learn from the radio.
I feel like the radio equivalent of the Chick-fil-A cows doing the Eat More Chicken.
Yeah.
Just use more radio.
Yeah, use more radio. Story here from the Kansas City Star, so you know it's true. After a 9-month existence as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, we've been sitting on this one, an iconic 10-mile thoroughfare on Kansas City's east side will once again be known as the Paseo. Kansas City voters decided by an overwhelming margin yesterday. Save the Paseo, the grassroots group that pushed for restoration of the boulevard's original name, cruised to victory. Unofficial results showed nearly 70% of voters favoring the Paseo, 30% favoring Martin Luther King Boulevard. The outcome was a stunning rebuke of the City Council's January decision to rename the Paseo in honor of Martin Luther King, the late civil rights leader. Now Kansas City is expected to take down well over 100 signs along the road, which cuts through the heart of the predominantly black east side of Kansas City. Tuesday's long-awaited election ends a period of uncertainty over the fate of MLK Boulevard. Shortly after the city council approved the renaming, a group of residents that later became Save the Paseo launched a petition drive to put the issue to voters. They argue the Paseo name is significant and a big part of Kansas City's history. I'm just going to open the phone lines.
Listen to this from TheRoot.com, okay? This story has been picked up nationwide today, by the way. New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, they're all talking about it today. This is from The Root. What is interesting is that while you would assume that black folks would be unanimously in favor of honoring King in this manner, Kansas City's black community was divided on this issue.
Wait, say the last sentence again.
What's interesting is that while you would assume that black folks would be unanimously in favor of honoring Dr. King in this manner,
right,
Kansas City's black community was divided on this issue. This was about two things, Scott. The process by which the city decided to rename the Paseo, That's the first issue. And the second issue is, and this is true, Kansas City is one of the only major cities in America that does not have an MLK Boulevard.
If I'm not mistaken, the largest city in America that does not have a street named after Martin Luther King Jr. Correct. However, you mentioned the process. How else would you have gone about it? I mean, in most major cities where they name something Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, it is the city council that makes that decision.
This, though, was a renaming. And what's going to be very interesting moving forward, and Mahoney did a Facebook Live with my husband last night on this, it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to go away.
Well, I don't think so either.
So do you find a different street? One of the arguments, Scott, was...
With 63rd Street.
If you go renaming, homeowners and business owners...
It changes everything for them.
Especially for business owners. It changes your address.
Yeah. Now...
So if you pick another street, that's not going to change. And now, I've heard 63rd Street thrown out.
But I understand the argument, Dana, and it's a good one. However, I would think most people in the Postal Service would know that if you renamed 63rd Street Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard or whatever, that they would know when mail came for 63rd Street that goes to MLK. You know, I mean, just like Shawnee Mission Parkway is also 63rd Street.
Or 56th.
Fair point. Fair point. 576-7798. Marina in Kansas City. Hello, Marina.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
I'm not sure about this fact, but I thought that I read somewhere that we paid like $80,000 for those naming rights.
$40,000.
$40,000.
And they're not naming rights. I mean, we're not paying the family of Martin Luther King. And I'm going to cut you off because there's a lot of wind. These aren't naming rights. These are the costs of printing and...
It was the physical cost of removing the signs. Now
And putting up new ones.
They didn't throw away the other signs. The other signs, the Paseo signs, still exist. They will now have to go through and swap those signs back.
So you would assume that the cost is going to be strictly labor. There were 100 signs that they had to print.
Right.
That said Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. But they never got rid of the old The Paseo Boulevard signs. So now we're not looking at $40,000. We're probably looking at about $5,000 in labor.
The editorial board today writes, the community should be invited to propose new alternatives. It is possible that some neighborhoods will step forward to ask for King's name on a street or nearby public land. It goes on to say, whatever the choices, the mayor and the city council must do a better job of reaching out to the affected homeowners and businesses before any future name changes are approved.
Let's go to William in Riverside. William, hello. Good afternoon.
Hello there. Bruce R. Watkins is from Parkville. He has a park named for him in Parkville. Why not rename Bruce R. Watkins? There's no businesses there and very little expense that way.
But don't you think we'll just have the exact same argument and problem if you go swapping street names in someone else's area?
No, I don't, because nobody refers to Martin Luther Cleaver Boulevard as Cleaver Boulevard. The newscasts even refer to it as West 47th Street. But just change the name. There's no businesses on Bruce R. Watkins to complain about the expense of changing mailing addresses.
That may be fair because the Bruce R. Watkins is primarily a highway, and you're right. I'm struggling to counter your argument that there's a business or even a home on the Bruce R. Watkins. And I think you're listening to yourself on the radio.
I don't think anyone can deny, even if you were in favor, okay? Even if you were in favor of renaming the Paseo, I don't think you can deny that there is a bad PR element to what has happened. There just is.
Sure.
There's going to be video of those signs coming down.
Yep, that's a good
point. And replacing them.
That's a good point, Dana. Let me ask you this.
It's not a good look. And I think if they had taken more time and gathered community input and figured out, okay, where do we want to do this? How do we want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
They need to do that now so we're not taking down and swapping out signs on Bruce R. Watkins in 9 months.
Well, let me ask you this question, and I don't know the answer. Maybe somebody can help me out on the text line or on the phone line or whatever. In the past, recently, when it came to the street line or the streetcar thing, those were area-specific votes, right?
Very area-specific.
Very, yes. In fact, with the first line, if I'm not mistaken, only 630 people got to vote. Was the decision regarding renaming Martin Luther King Boulevard back to the Paseo, was that a geographic-specific vote, or was that a citywide vote where people in the Northland got to decide, people on the West Side got to decide, people in South Kansas?
Initially? Are you asking initially?
No, I'm saying yesterday.
Oh, it was everybody, because
it was a citywide
vote.
Yes,
because Mahoney last night broke down where it failed so miserably, and they broke it down.
Which was where? Do you remember?
I believe it didn't do well anywhere, Scott.
Even in the area around the Paseo, which is a predominantly black neighborhood. Is that the way I understand what you're saying?
It did not do well anywhere. I mean, this was a resounding, resounding defeat.
It was 70%. 70% of the city said, this is a dumb idea. Now, nobody's taking it, and I don't have a dog in the fight, so I really don't care. I don't live in Kansas City, Missouri.
I don't think all of those 70% were saying, I'm anti-MLK. I think people hated the way this happened. They hated the process. People did not feel like they had a voice in the process.
Okay. Real quick, James and KCK. James, hello.
Hey, I just don't understand how naming a street after somebody pays homage to them. Because who is 18th Street paying homage to, right? And two, if, you know, all these people that are butthurt about it, go vote. So only 30% of the people were for it. Get out and vote if you have a problem with it. And either they didn't, or as it turned out, the resounding majority didn't care or didn't want it.
Well, you can understand, can you not, James, naming something after someone to honor them? I mean, we've named states, we've named cities after. You live in KCK, Wyandotte's named after an Indian tribe, but Johnson County, Jackson County, Clay County, these are all named after people of significance in our community.
So maybe the point that I'm trying to make is, maybe if you want to pay homage and show respect to them, like maybe do something that's teaching kids to read, that's gonna drop the homicide rate in Kansas City, Missouri, versus, oh, wow, I'm driving on a street that's named after this advocate. I would much rather see inner city kids have access to warm clothes and tutors or some substance like that, other than, wow, I'm driving on a street that's named after this person.
Well, but
you don't think it says something that we are the only major city
I think it does say a street. Yeah, I do think it says something. However, I would only point out to you, James, you bring up an interesting point, but I would, you know, you talk about giving kids books and clothing and stuff. Martin Luther King Jr., the reason he is honored is because of the freedom that he provided people. And I think someone like Martin Luther King certainly deserves to have things named after him. Now, whether it's a street or a building or whatever, I don't know. But America has a long history of naming things after people who did incredible things. And I think it is only fair that something in this town is named after Martin Luther King Jr. Now, was it the Paseo? Apparently not. Should it be something else?
Even the Save the Paseo people are saying, we want the city to find a way to honor him. We want them to go about it in a different way.
That's exactly what they said last night. 576-7798.
Yo, no, you never know what the world is going to show you. It ain't up to you. You always think it's going to happen to another person, and it's never, ever going to happen to you.
You got your friends, you got your money, got your family, got your honey. You think you got a million days, but then life comes along and it knocks you right down to the ground. And that's why I say that everybody ought to hug somebody at least once a day.
One of my favorite songs by him. Just hug it out. Michael Fronte, and 2 weeks ago, he didn't even play this song. I just wanted to run up on stage and go, no!
I want to know, because this issue is not going to go away, it will come up again, what would be the actual cost to you? I don't think there's a cost if you're a homeowner, but if you are a business owner and they change the name of your street, what does that mean for you? Is it just your mailers, your...
What about your business cards?
Okay.
I got a novel idea. I hate to be the reasonable one all the time. The brains of the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years, there, especially Steve Kraske from The Star, but people have been saying from time to time, you know, J.C. Nichols was this anti-Semite, racist jerk, put in all these, you know, codes of ethnics regarding moving into his neighborhoods that he built in Leawood. There is a gigantic, beautiful fountain on the Kansas City Plaza called the J.C. Nichols Fountain. It's my favorite one in the entire city. Sometimes I'll go there on a weekend, just stare at it. I love it. If J.C. Nichols was such a horrible human being...
There have been people who have, over the years, tried to get that fountain renamed.
Why don't we just rename that gigantically beautiful fountain on the plaza the Martin Luther King Fountain? Nobody has to change their address.
Sure.
You've just replaced the name of a known anti-Semite with a man who spoke inclusion.
And it is an iconic place in Kansas City.
Why not just rename the J.C. Nichols Fountain the Martin Luther King Fountain? Don't give me any credit. Just take my idea and run with it. Steve in Kansas City. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for weighing in.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a 40-year business owner on the Paseo, and we were never notified or contacted about the change. And also, just to kind of weigh in, business-wise, to change all your corporation and addresses could run into the thousands of dollars to do that.
What would you have to change, Steve? Your mailing address obviously would change.
Well, basically, all our paperwork would have to be changed on how a corporation is your address is. There's just a lot of things that, you know, the underlying part of it that people just don't understand that goes into the effect of your not only your business name, but your business address.
How did you first find out about it if the city never approached the business owners?
I had kind of been reading about it, and then the petition from a lot of the Northeast people started surfacing, and that's kind of when I had got involved and just allowed them to leave a petition at my business for different people in the neighboring area to sign.
And I don't think anyone denies the frustration for anyone who owned a business or lives along that stretch who wasn't consulted, Scott. This is our government who made this decision without input from the people who would be most affected.
And guess what? Last night, democracy rang true and the people spoke and they said, government, screw you. Now, I don't care if it's named the Paseo or the MLK Boulevard. I couldn't care less. Could not care less. What I do love is that the people of Kansas City gave a bright middle finger to their government and said, screw you. We'll take it from here. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You guys have a great night. Be safe and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.